Listen, let's try and have some patience with each other.
I can't promise anything.
Let's try.
Same here, by the way.
Yeah. But I'm saying let's try.
Okay.
Omar's in here, too.
Yeah. Let's try.
Okay.
Just give it a good try.
Well, what has us all so heated is that a Yahoo article popped up yesterday by a guy named Christopher Elliott, and it was a genuine manifesto, I believe, of a psychopath.
Okay.
It reads, "Stop reclining your airplane seat. It's the polite thing to do. It's the right thing to do." He even quotes a frequent traveling organizational consultant who says, "Seat reclining is one of the most irritating, inconvenient, and self-indulgent habits a person can have."
Okay.
It's a point-by-point argument, this article. Let's break down some of them, okay? So he thinks that you going onto an airplane and using the reclining seat is the most offensive thing you can do while on a flight.
Oh, by the way, that's just not true.
Yeah,
it's not true at all. You.
There was a guy, bare feet guy on the way to New York. There was a bare feet guy. I was like, at least put your socks
and
on.
And why are they always touching their feet once the feet are bare?
And,
and disgusting.
We've talked about this before. Kung Pao chicken at 9 a.m. in the morning guy. That's worse.
Hard-boiled egg guy with tuna fish right next to you guy.
Tank top dude with air pin.
You had me a tank top dude.
Yeah. All the deodorant,
which was me.
Just like blah, 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 on his armpit hairs.
So yesterday we were talking about this, before we go point by point here, we were talking about this, and I immediately want you all to know that I do not think reclining your seat is a dick move.
Okay.
I think that the seats are there to be reclined. That's why they recline. That's why they were made that way.
Right.
And it's not even that far into someone's lap or anything.
I mean, it is truly an inch and a half.
Well,
but that's my point. It's like, why even do it? It's not like it's going to make you extra comfortable or do anything, but you are in that other person's space. Like,
you're infringing.
Absolutely. You try to be as courteous as possible because you don't want to be barefoot guy or seat recline guy, you know? So you just kind of try to get through the flight and, you know, just be chill.
Christopher claims airlines are trying to squeeze more passengers on a plane to make more money, and now currently there's no room to recline.
Correct.
Before airline deregulation, many economy class seats had a generous 36 inches of pitch, quote unquote, a rough measure of legroom. Today, some seats have as little as 28 inches, and that leaves you right up against
the person
behind
you. I'm 6'2", and my knees touch, and there's nothing I can do about that. So if somebody reclines, I have to readjust my seating position so that I can live.
Let me ask you,
what I mean? Like, it's really difficult.
And you being a nice guy, if somebody reclines their seat, you recognize that it's their right to recline the seat, so you don't say, hey, man, or you just deal with it, right?
Funny you say that.
No, I stand up and I just choke them out over the seat.
Oh, wow.
Choke them out.
Okay. That seems a little aggressive.
Tap out!
Well, funny enough, that's actually his next argument. Oh. He says people who say it's their right, they're wrong. You can do a lot of things on a plane. For example, you can tell your life story to your seatmate. You can eat a Limburger cheese and Bermuda onion sandwich. Mm-hmm. You can press the flight attendant call button 50 times in a row, but all are bad ideas.
We have on at Kevin and Bean on Twitter, and we're going to do it on Instagram, a poll. What do you think? When you're on a plane, do you recline your seat? It's all good, one answer. Or you are a dick is the other answer.
I think there's a little gray area, and this is, I check to see, if it's a baby, if it's Brad Williams. You know what I mean? Like, if it's not going to inconvenience them, then I don't mind putting my seat back. Yeah. But for the most part, I think that the planes were developed, the seats were developed to recline.
Yes.
But then they started putting the seats closer and closer together so that now it's literally horrible for the person behind you. And for the most part, don't do it.
Christine brought this up in the meeting, and I think it's a good question. What about at night when most people are sleeping on a plane? Is that okay? You're taking a red eye. Does that change things for you?
Well, because then you're all making an agreement. We're all going to sleep. So if you all recline, you won't be in each other's laps.
But what if that's when I work. I don't want to sleep. That's when I work.
Well, sorry you're on a plane with reclining seats, bro.
Okay.
Some airlines have already ditched reclining seats. They've already stopped doing them. But this guy in the article is arguing that they don't want to stop the reclining seats. They should, by
they
standards.
Should, because they've tightened everything up so
much. But they're not going to, because it's just basically giving up on people's comfort. Like, it'll just stand out more than leaving it there. Like, now we can't even recline our seats?
Yeah.
So he knows for a fact, he says, that airlines are wanting to stop the reclining seats.
But they won't, because it's proving that
could we get on the microphone and go, hey, everybody, listen, let's all
recline
our seats on three. One, two, three, recline. And then everybody's
fine. He gives some ways to deal with a seat recliner because he thinks you should address it. And I want to know what you guys thought of his methods. Okay.
Kick the seat.
Well, kind of close.
Repeatedly.
He says tap them right at the time of reclining. So don't wait too long, right when they recline, and ask them to lean forward.
Just meaning this is like, making me uncomfortable.
Yeah, please don't do that. It doesn't work with these seats.
Okay.
His second suggestion, get a flight attendant involved.
Oh,
but
what?
The flight attendant, don't the flight attendants pretty much have to
That's what I thought.
Support that there's a reclining
seat? There's a reclining seat. He said, in case they wait for you to go to the restroom or pretend to be asleep, which is the oldest trick in the book. I was like, bro, how many people are you flying with that are just straight up dicks? Like, so he says, basically, don't let them get away with it. Call an attendant.
Okay, and a flight attendant is not going to be like, sir, put your seat back.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen.
He also said move seats. If you see an open one nearby, just move there or ask permission. That makes it easier.
Or just be rich and fly first class.
Right. Yeah.
Like, what is wrong with all
Did
these people?
Did we put that on the poll?
Yeah, that
Did we
should
put that
be
on the poll,
poll
too?
Just be rich.
But the people should not be dicks. Don't recline your seat. That's a dick move.
I'm taking myself right? out of this conversation because I am 5'2".
Yeah.
It does not affect me in any way, shape, or form.
So, Kevin, recline or no recline?
Again, I'll look and see if it's going to...
No recline or recline!
98% of the time, no recline
no
because it's horrible for the person behind
you. And if you recline,
you.
You're a dick.
Yeah.
Absolutely, right?
And just so it's out there, I am 100% reclined, and I'm happy to be called a dick. Right
okay.
here.
Okay.
Okay. Omar?
No recline.
No recline.
I am not
oh
a dick.
God.
You know
Disgusting.
Who's a dick? This guy right
yeah.
here.
Jensen.
That's right.
Jensen's
okay.
a dick.
Pointing
it.
At me. It's radio, Omar. He pointed at me.
All right.
Jensen's a dick. 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 Jensen's a dick, dick, dick. Jensen's a dick, dick, dick. Jensen's a big giant dick.
Okay.
Jensen's a dick,
right.
dick, dick. Jensen's a dick, dick, dick. Jensen's a dick, dick, dick. Jensen, you're a big dick. Jensen's a dick.
I know I'm inheriting
dick,
a lot from being
dick,
a dick.
Dick, dick.
Right.
Jensen, you are a dick. Dick,
right.
Dickity, dick, 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 dick.
Okay.
Jensen, you're a giant dick. Jensen, Jensen, Jensen,
yeah.
you're a giant
right.
dick.
No, no,
dick.
I get it.
Jensen, Jensen,
okay.
Jensen, Jensen, you're a giant dick.
Dick.
Jensen, okay. Jensen, Jensen, you're a giant dick.
Dick.
Jensen, you're a giant dick.
Dick.
Dickity, dick. I can't believe how much of a dick. Jensen, you're a big dick.
Right.
A giant, huge,
okay.
big dick. Such
okay.
a big, what a dick.
Right.
A giant, big,
gotta be it.
Dick.
Like the end.
All right.
Okay.
Now that that's settled, we have tickets for the K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas Night 1.
Yes.
We're going to play a game.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be painful.
How dare you?
Oh.
So we apologize
yeah,
for
maybe,
that.
Maybe Omar don't leave, right?
In advance, but
1-800-520-1067
at Doheny State
now,
Beach in Dana Point. It's that band. It's Silver Sun Pickups. It's The Revivalist. It's Ex-Ambassadors. It's so many different bands. Tickets are on sale now. If you'd like to buy those tickets, go to frontgatetickets.com.
Yeah, bring your kites.
Correct.
We're going to be doing it on the beach.
Mm-hmm.
That's fun, right?
If everyone brings a kite?
Yeah.
I'm sure that's
yeah.
fun for the bands.
It'll look cool from above, like an aerial shot.
Right.
Guys, yesterday when a listener called in, her name was Betty. We were kind of taking calls on the topic of you were raised by a clown,
mm-hmm.
which...
And we got way more calls than we thought we would.
I mean, the lines were full.
Yeah.
And you would think that's the craziest thing we would have done that day.
Correct.
Just asking people to call in. And say, you know, oh, my dad was a clown. No. You see, Betty called in and she pitched us on her client. It was a clown Elvis impersonator,
mm-hmm.
a bit of a mashup,
mm-hmm.
one might say, that goes by the name Clownvis, which is not creative.
No.
It's just taking...
I love it. I love it because it's the least amount of work they could have put into it.
But like even Clownvis, because that's half and half, but no, full name
no,
clown,
clown.
And then half vis,
mm-hmm.
Clownvis. At first, we laughed her off, thinking this person's crazy,
mm-hmm.
pitching us a Third Street Promenade Street performer. But little did we know, she would be introducing us to someone now that is kind of our Lord and Savior.
Yeah, for sure.
He's a comic. He wears sort of a comically ridiculous pompadour.
Mm-hmm.
Very large pompadour.
Yeah.
Right.
Right. And he has mutton chops.
Mm-hmm.
And he has loud clown-colored, like a large clown-covered Elvis jumpsuit
mm-hmm.
that he's wearing.
He has everything.
He's beautiful. And you also have to understand that he wears these sort of aviator sunglasses and has full clown makeup.
Sure.
But like Not great clown makeup.
Can I also point out one of my favorite things that Betty said was, oh, yeah, he only does like a couple Elvis songs.
Well, that was funny.
We figured, oh, he takes Elvis songs and turns them clown or just sings those songs.
Absolutely.
But no, just a couple of those.
Just a couple. So he's not even a clown Elvis.
It's technically just the outfit.
Right.
Yeah, he's mostly just a clown. But to me, he's the king of clowns.
Yes.
He's the only entertainer to perform on both America's Got Talent and at the Gathering of the Juggalos.
Wonderful.
Oh, that's pretty strong.
Listen, I didn't research that, but that's got to be true. His clown antics and music parodies have taken him around the country, and it's hard to deny that he deserves it, because he does. When you listen to songs like this, this first one is called Don't Be a Bitch or You Won't Get Stuff for Christmas.
Don't be a bitch or you won't get stuff for Christmas. You better look out, you better not cry, you better watch out, I'm telling you why. Don't be a bitch or you won't get stuff for Christmas.
Beautiful.
He's making a list, checking it twice, gonna find out who's been a bitch. Don't be a bitch or you won't get stuff for Christmas.
Excellent.
Guy's a genius.
Well done.
Oh, I
how
love
is
it.
How do we only find out about Clownvis so late in the game?
I don't know. Very upset at ourselves, though.
We should have been at the small club dates. We should have been really growing with him as a performer. We should all be wearing merch.
Yeah.
Because this song, another beautiful Christmas track.
Does he do all Christmas?
He does a lot of Christmas.
Okay.
But no. The bops are Christmas tunes.
Okay.
This one is called Jesus Christ Eating on a Chicken Wing.
Wrong wing.
Here's a story about the real Christmas. Jesus Christ eating on a chicken wing. He's got hot sauce and ranch to dip in. Maybe he's his little baby heaven. Jesus Christ eating on a chicken wing. It's his birthday today, so let him have it his way. He likes it hot, he likes it spicy. I don't give him no barbecue honey sauce. That ain't no way to treat him, honey, he's your boss.
Oh, nice.
What? Why? How come a guy who's Clown Elvis decided...
Clownvis. Thank you.
Decide that Christmas music is his thing?
Well,
does anyone hire a clown at Christmas?
Is that
a thing?
That doesn't even have to be a Christmas song. It's just talking about Jesus' birthday. Yeah, it's Christmas, but it's
more
mostly
about
the chicken wings.
All right.
You're right.
It's a crossover.
That's a chicken wing tune, not a Christmas tune. This third song, I tried to really figure out, you know, to explain it the easiest way, but I could only tell you that if there was a fictitious taco shop that Barack Obama opened, this would be the jingle.
Barack's tacos, Barack's tacos, Barack's tacos taste the change.
Yeah,
soft ones, hard ones, burritos too, and even a chimichanga just for you. Change.
I love it. I love it so much.
What a bizarre smattering of songs. Who comes up with that?
I mean, you do have to buy into the concept that Barack Obama has opened a taco shop called Barack's Tacos.
Why wouldn't he?
Which I'm fine with.
Good. Thank you.
Yeah,
me too.
Absolutely.
Me too, because it is my ringtone now. Okay. This next song, I have to set it up a little.
Okay.
He's out on the town, going out to clubs and dancing with Wolfman. The Wolfman.
Like he does.
Yes. And what you have to realize is that he's figured out a way to get the attention of the women in the club.
Mm-hmm.
Play the song.
Yeah, I'm dancing with the Wolfman.
Dancing with the Wolfman.
Dancing with the Wolfman.
Dancing with the Wolfman.
Ow! Ow! Dancing with the Wolfman.
Dancing with the Wolfman.
Yeah, I'm dancing with the Wolfman. In a non-gay way. You guys dance. Well, me and Wolfman, we dance so fine. The goblin lady said,
I wanna make you mine.
We looked at each other, but we didn't cause no fuss. Well, then the Wolfman said,
Goblin lady, you're gonna dance with us.
Oh!
Dancing with the Wolf Man.
Take it if you know it.
Dancing with the Wolf Man.
Dancing with the Wolf Man.
This is fantastic.
Guys.
It's a Weird Al of clown Elvises.
In a non-gay way.
Guys. Clown fist.
Playing
clown
fist. The K-Rock Absolute Almost Acoustic Christmas.
I am in tonight, too, you guys.
I am, too. And let me just say about the Rockin' Tours, if you've not yet spent any time with their, I think it's called Help Us Stranger, Help Me Stranger, something like that, the latest album. It is, I think, one of the best rock albums of the whole year. It is great. And the fact that we get to see, well, you get to see them live in December, I suddenly got sad. It's the Rockin' Tours. Mumford & Sons' 21 Pilots will be joining us in studio in about 20 minutes here on K-Rock. The 1975 of Monsters and Men, The Interrupters, Lovely the Band, Matt Mason, and, of course, our friend DJ Jeremiah Redd. That is a great, great lineup. Pre-sale, 10 a.m. Thursday for K-Rock Street Team members. General public on sale 24 hours after that, 10 o'clock on Friday. Get all the details at K-Rock.com.
Omar, how did this come up last week? Last Thursday, I think it was?
That's a great question.
Sleeping with your socks on?
I think we take a lot of tangents here. And I think first it went about my mom teaching me when I was young that if I wear my socks while I'm sleeping, I'll wake up with a headache.
Oh, right. We were talking about ridiculous superstitions.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And then
I just said that.
This is Homer.
Yeah.
Or O-ring, as we like to call it.
Don't start that up again, please. that I cannot go to sleep without socks on.
Oh.
Yeah, and that
you
made Allie
in your mouth, Allie?
She did. She did.
So gross.
I got so mad at Omar on Thursday. I was like screaming at him.
What is it that gives you that reaction?
If I'm laying next to a dude and I've got, you know, bare legs and all of a sudden I feel a sock on my leg, I'd rather have a bunion. I'd rather have a weird old toenail scratching me.
What?
Socks? Ew, your feet are so sweaty. That's so disgusting. Take off your socks. You're not a baby. You're not wearing a onesie. You're a grown-ass man.
I wish I was. That'd be awesome.
Also, I'd like to ask a question. Omar, what are these socks? Are these designated sleep socks, or are these the socks you've been wearing all day?
No, these are designated. I have a stack of regular socks that I wear, like, you know, during the day, and then I have special sleep socks. I usually, like, every night take a shower, put on my sleep socks.
Be right back. I got to put on my special sleep socks, honey.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I got to put on my sleep socks. For some weird reason, my feet get really cold, and I can't go to sleep with socks
and
on.
And you keep them on all night.
Yeah.
There have been times where I've been like, oh, my feet are really cold. I'm just going to have socks on for a minute. But then I'll always take them off.
No. What's so gross about that to you?
Ew.
It is gross.
It's disgusting.
Why is it gross?
Because it's not. Those are not designated sleep clothes. No one says, like, oh, I got to get these socks for sleep.
You can wear anything you want for designated sleep clothes.
You guys wear underwear, right? Why is that different from socks? It's an undergarment.
Yeah.
But
you don't wear socks to bed. It's
Why
creepy.
Not?
It's weird.
Why is it creepy and weird? Let me ask you a question. Socks are fine, right? Socks. Fine. If you haven't touched them, they're good.
Fine.
They're clean. They're fine. The only thing that makes socks bad is your feet.
Yes. Thank you for making our point.
If they're not clean.
Case closed.
So she's saying I'd rather have feet. I'm like, no, that's the problem.
No,
if the socks are bad, it's the feet.
Number one, I shower.
Then your socks are fine. That's my point.
No, it's all about even the rubbing of the sock against the sheet.
Oh,
no.
It's the texture.
All of it.
This is a texture thing?
Socks are not made for sleep.
No,
that's ridiculous. Just by science, the way they rub on the. And also, if you're cold, if your feet are cold, add a sheet, bro.
No, it's just my feet. It's not the rest of my body.
So you've got a circulation problem that I think we need to get.
I would rather you go see a doctor.
Yeah.
I honestly would rather you put a blankie over your feet.
Really?
Yeah.
Like a little blanket?
Yeah.
But what if I kick it off? That's, you know, I toss and turn and then I could kick off the blanket. Then I'm going to wake up and I'm going to have to go put on my sleep socks.
It's not as weird if you staple them to your legs than wearing a sock.
What's so bad about socks?
Does Cassie wear socks?
I don't believe so. And if she, you know what happens? If she does, she kicks them off during the night.
Exactly,
right.
Because your feet are so hot, it's disgusting. Then you just have sweaty feet.
But my feet are cold, so then they don't sweat.
See a doctor.
If you're laying in bed, you said next to somebody, and their feet are freezing cold, you want them?
Put them in between my legs, and I'll warm them up. Whoa. I mean, I meant like the bottom part, but that sounded what? It's not what I meant at
What's
all.
Happening?
Not
to
what
that?
I meant.
Allie, but I'm saying that's better than socks.
Yes, socks to bed is so gross to me.
It is gross.
I don't understand what's gross. Yes,
may I ask a follow-up question, please? And that is, how do you feel about having sex with someone while they're wearing socks? Is that a problem for you?
Absolutely. That's disgusting. Take off your freaking socks.
Unless it's a 70s snuff film, Bean. I can't even imagine.
Oh, then I'm into it.
Right. Then I can't even imagine what anyone's doing wearing socks in bed at all.
By the way, just for the record, and so it's out there, I agree with Jensen and Allie. I am also team no socks full
time. Makes no sense to me.
Absolutely.
Look,
team
you
no
can
socks.
Be team no socks, but it doesn't make the Allie throwing up in her mouth makes no
right.
sense.
Is it gross to you, Bean, if I sleep with my socks on?
It is. Yes.
What?
Yes.
Yeah, it is. Really?
It is.
Yeah, that's not how. That's not what the Lord intended.
Wow.
Do you guys even want to know about my stance on Uber pants?
Oh,
Uber
this is crazy.
Pants.
So, like, in
are
the
we
same,
done with socks?
No, in the same light. I don't even want you sitting on my bed in your pants that could have been in an Uber or on a public chair. Or it is.
I take an Uber to your house.
Yes.
And
it,
for some reason, I'm sitting on your bed. I don't know why I would be doing that.
Come up with some reasons. But absolutely.
You would freak out about that because.
Well, yes! You're sitting in an Uber or subway if you live in New York City, and you're taking those pants and you're putting them on my bed. Nothing that's allowed outside should be put into my bed.
Okay. Well, that doesn't work with O-ring socks because
it's Homer.
They're sleep socks. Yeah,
because they're sleep socks. He doesn't use them for anything.
Number
else.
One, I don't
they're
trust
not outside.
It. I don't trust it. But also, it's like a hygienic piece of clothing.
Listen, I wasn't aware of his Uber pants situation, and I would like to be
distance?
Off of Team Jensen if that is possible.
Bean, how about you with the Uber pants?
Well, nobody would ever sit on my bed under any circumstances.
That sounds like a point, challenge though. To me. So, book my flight to London.
I don't know. I guess I hadn't. What if they're sitting on the bed? They're actually sitting on the top of the blanket or the comforter or something like that, which is not a part that even comes in contact with your body. So I think that's a little bit of an overreaction, but I am still with you on the socks.
I'll sit alone on my island, but it don't come to my house and sit on my bed.
I will say it drives me insane when I see people put their suitcases on top of their beds in hotel rooms, though.
Oh, never mind. Now we're good,
right?
Why? It does drive
it's
me crazy.
Wait, why?
Because if you put your suitcase is literally the dirtiest thing you own.
Okay,
wait,
well,
what?
This just in... The bedspread is the dirtiest thing in that room.
Yeah, aside from the remote control.
You're ruining your suitcase by doing that.
Yeah, there's no winners in that formula, that's for sure. But getting back to Homer, stop with the socks.
Why?
Yeah, stop it.
Then I can't go to sleep. I already have problems sleeping. Don't take my socks away.
You missed the Kevin Bean show.
Okay, thanks. Mm-hmm.
You miss a lot.
I heard that. Mm-hmm. I understand there may be a contender for the crown of the Zero Club president. We're going to talk about that later this hour. Mm-hmm. And I understand that our Hall of Fame broadcasting career continues inexplicably. And look, I've been thinking about this a lot as I'm entering my final months here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
You say month or months?
Months.
Just trying to figure out how to plan.
Yeah, that was quite an announcement, if not.
Look, I've been thinking about this last week. And
got a couple hours left.
It is a goddamn miracle that anyone listens to this show.
Agreed.
That's the conclusion that I have come to.
Agreed.
Because we are not... good.
Exhibit A. Eagle take color 20 right now for a pair of tickets to see Trevor Noah Loud and Clear Tour at Staples Center. That is December 6th. Tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. at AXS.com. But if you're color 20, you'll win a pair from K-Rock right now. 1-800-520-1087.
Yeah.
1087.
Yeah. Do you remember what happened right after that?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just stop the song.
Very rare. We've ever. Have you done this in a while? When have you stopped a song?
I don't think
it's been
ever.
A long time.
Yeah.
Okay. But it's always because of me.
Yeah.
Okay.
How many years have you been working on this show?
29.
Okay.
30.
He's got a problem with numbers.
I do have a problem with numbers. So then we started the song again, and I tried it again, and it worked.
You nailed it.
It worked the second time.
At least the number's new. It's one you've changed recently, right?
Why would I say 1087? Under any circumstances.
No idea. No clue.
So good times.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
So being that's Exhibit A.
It's right on brand.
Sure. Here's Exhibit B.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You have a new special coming out this week called Oh Come On. I watched it last night and it's hilarious.
It's great.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you. I watched it last night and I can't wait to see it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I said that to David Cross.
Oh, my God.
Someone that would pick up on it immediately.
Why would I say I watched it and I can't wait to see it? It makes no sense.
And then I think for the rest of the interview, he thought you were lying. I think
he thought I was lying that I watched it.
Yes.
Yeah, every time you'd mention something from the special,
I
don't know if you saw it.
I think he was being funny because I kept giving examples, but
you did counteract.
Why would I say that
again?
I mean, it doesn't even make sense.
Yeah, I'd like to hear it again.
And now it's time for A Moment with Kevin.
You have a new special coming out this week called Oh Come On. I watched it last night and it's hilarious.
It's great.
I can't wait to see it.
Well, thank you. I watched it last night and I can't wait to see it.
That was A Moment with Kevin.
I assume I'm in. I can't wait till people see it. To our audience sees it. I assume that's what I'm
saying. In Kevin's defense, words are hard.
Thank you, Bean.
And I would also like to say that we spread it around on this program.
We do, yeah.
It's certainly, you know, if Kevin if Kevin felt bad about that, at least he knew I'd be back soon and make him look like Edward R. Murrow looking up kids. Because yesterday I fell into one of those brain freezes where I could not come up with a simple word. And this has happened to everybody in the world, on the radio or not. You just can't think of a word for whatever reason.
But mostly happens to me. And so to be on the other side of it was just magical.
Had to be fun.
And the difference between people that can't come up with a word is they have kind people around them that will help them.
The rule here is if somebody can't think of a word, no one help.
Yeah, let them drown.
Let it roll as long as it can go.
Mm-hmm. Let them, if somebody's drowning, do not throw them a rope. And that was
By the way, just let me say one thing. For Allie, that was really difficult for a long time because she felt bad.
I felt awful. And
she would
help,
and we would go, stop it.
Is it weird that I've never had a problem with
it? No, it's not.
But do you remember yesterday who waved everyone
off? Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you learned.
Sorry, Bean. Sorry.
All right, so we're talking about, I don't know if this is on the clip, but we're talking about the return of David Letterman with his Netflix interview series, and I was trying to make a reference to a bit that he used to do on his old late-night show. Let's see how that went.
Feel a little bit like being in that we expect one thing from Letterman, and he doesn't give us any of that.
Yeah.
No.
It's more...
And that's a little weird.
Yeah, it's conversations with people that he finds fascinating, and
which
he's not...
Fine.
Which is great.
But work in a little humor.
He's just not getting to, little quips that you're used to, but no
lineup.
I mean,
Kevin wanted to see Malala be thrown up against the wall, you know, with the sticky stuff. What's that called? The something. You know, the stuff where Dave would throw himself on the wall and then he'd be stuck up there because it was sticky. You know, that stuff. And Malala, being a Nobel Prize winning person, is not who you expect in that situation. And then he was going to put her in a tank and ask, will she float? And then he didn't do any of that either because it's
Tuesday. Nope,
it's Tuesday.
Only Tuesday.
Sweet baby Jesus.
You know what I'm saying, though?
I actually don't.
You're looking for the word Velcro.
Velcro is what it's called. Yes, Velcro wall. Yes. He didn't do, there was nothing like that happening on him.
That was pretty sweet. I like that.
Hall of Fame!
Right?
Wow.
Well, I cannot believe I'm saying this, but it's raining in the OC.
I know, it's crazy. I got to tell you, the traffic is a nightmare. The 405 is jammed. The 5, the 710, they're all gridlocked.
Stay safe, stay dry, and let's all pray for sunshine today.
I just like to say that Lisa May 100% pulled it off.
Mm-hmm. Right?
100%. She sounded like she knew what she was talking about.
And what about the guy praying for sunshine?
Right?
He's kind of like a doofus.
What about him?
A doofus. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show here on a Tuesday morning. CM Punk joins us next hour. We are very excited. Jensen, is he going to make any announcements about
who knows? It seems
his new interview show. Or is he part of SmackDown? What's happening?
Or AEW?
Here?
I don't know. Honestly,
what if he just walks in and he's like, listen, I'm going to do a show on Fox Sports. Mm-hmm. I'm also going to show up at SmackDown, and I've joined AEW.
I don't know if you can legally do that, but he is the man of the hour right now, it appears.
Yeah, he really is. All eyes are on CM Punk, and he has an excellent new movie out just in time for the season that we'll be talking about. That's all coming up on K-Rock. First, though, how about some animal stories?
Maybe a raccoon or a story about a dog. Maybe a baboon or a story about a frog. A story about a cat or a pizza rat. A story about a minx or a story about a lynx. Animal stories in the news. Animal stories to cure your blues. Animal stories just for you. Let's find out what they're up to.
have him change the intro to take out the minx at some point. I just ask him.
Appreciate it. Part-time Bean.
We are always grateful when the listeners think of us outside of listening to the show. It's a real compliment to us that you ever think of us beyond 10 a.m. And I know that a lot of listeners thought of me in particular when they saw this story because I received it by the dozens. A woman forced to bite a camel's testicles.
What?
To escape after it sat on her.
Oh.
That old story.
Wow.
How many times do you hear that happen? Here's what happened. A man, a woman, and their deaf dog are driving through Louisiana. They're a few miles west of Baton Rouge, and they stop at this little truck stop here that happens to have some exotic animals. So the husband, for some reason, throws some...
Don't walk over that, Dean.
There used to be a lot of these places in America, and thank God most of them have been closed down because it's just very sad to pull off the side of the road and there's just a bear in a cage. Mm-hmm. Nobody wants that. That's no way for an animal live. So this the husband here decided to throw some dog treats for his dog, let his dog run around a little bit while they were stopping, you know, for gas and whatnot. And some of the treats went into the camel enclosure, so the dog chased, went under the fence and chased after. So now the dog is in with the camel. Mm-hmm. So then the woman is concerned about her dog, so somehow she gets into the pen with the camel as well, and the camel sits on her, very nearly crushing her. The camel, by the way, weighs 1,100 pounds.
Wow.
So she had to do whatever she could to get out from under the animal. So she bit the camel's testicles.
Oh, what do you think her thought process was? Like, that's my only way out, but
I
don't want to do that.
Yes.
But also, it's my only way out.
Yeah.
But I really don't want to do that.
I think this is a 127-hour situation where you're going, the last thing I want to do is cut my arm off, but otherwise I'm just going to die here on this mountain. That's exactly what happened with this lady. So she bit his testicles. Here's the quote. I bit his balls to get him off of me. That's what she told police anyway. She was taken to the local hospital, her condition unknown. No injuries to the camel were reported, and nothing will be done to the camel. The camel was just doing camel things. So
nothing should be done to the camel. Just she bit his balls, for God's sakes.
But what I'm saying is, a lot of times, a lot of times when there's any kind of animal and human interaction and it goes poorly, for whatever reason, they put the animal down, it drives me crazy. But this camel didn't do anything aggressive. He'd never gotten out. He never caused any issues or anything like that. He didn't do anything wrong. He all of a sudden just had this dog and this person in his pen.
He sat on her.
That is not, I don't think, what anybody was expecting that day.
No.
To go down?
No.
Kevin, you're not a big fan of raccoons.
No.
As I am. My wife has a family of raccoons that she hand feeds every night at sunset.
Again, the dumbest smart person I know. You and her both are so incredibly intelligent, and then when it comes to animals, you're so dumb.
It's not going to be funny when they turn on her and they eat her.
And they will.
She needs to go to the Raccoon Cafe, which is just open in the Ukraine, by the way. It gives customers the unique opportunity to interact with and give belly rubs to Liza and Bart. They are a lovable pair of raccoons that have recently been adopted from a local farm when they were just babies. And now, just like we have cat cafes and puppy cafes, there's a raccoon cafe in the Ukraine. Like, the Ukraine doesn't have enough going on right now, by the way, in the news.
This seems low on the priority list.
The exterior of the cafe pays tribute to the masked mammals with a mural of Guardians of the Galaxy's Rocket Raccoon and other raccoons dressed up like superheroes, including Spider-Man and Wonder Woman. Mm. It's a huge hit, by the way. The space, you can put up about 200 visitors per day through there, and customers wait up to 30 minutes for their chance to interact with and feed the pair of raccoons. Now, these are tame raccoons, Kevin. Would you look at them like you would at a dog and play with them?
Probably not, no, because it's a wild animal.
Yeah. What's the
even
difference?
Even though you say it's trained, it's a wild animal.
What's the difference between a camel at a rest stop and Liza and Bart in the Ukraine?
Because
they should be out in the wild. This is insane.
I feel like you can have enough space for a raccoon to enjoy its life, and I think a raccoon is going to be well-fed and well-slept.
That's what slave owners said.
Weirdo tourists.
Lots of love.
No, this is gross.
So you say no to camels at the truck stop and no to raccoons.
Correct.
At the,
yes.
Okay.
Both.
All right. All right. I will allow it, by the way.
Okay, cool.
A Georgia woman went to fill up her gas tank before work early last week when a deer leaped over her head, kicking her in the process. She's just, there's video of this. She's standing pumping gas in Brunswick, Georgia,
And she thought she was being robbed. She got hit in the back of the head. And that was her thought is, oh, my God, somebody is robbing me right now. She wasn't facing in that direction. She stood there for a minute to process what happened and saw a deer scampering off after just jumping into the air and hitting her.
With her purse, oddly enough.
Doesn't say that here. But, Allie, you saw this video, right?
It's insane.
Just
it's
out
insane.
Of the blue, she gets
out of the blue.
She doesn't see it jumping. She doesn't hear it coming.
No,
nothing. Wow.
And the fact that she was running late for work anyway, and then she's like, and now I get to explain to work that I was attacked by a deer. Just amazing.
Hit the head out of nowhere. Here's a lady named Jill Hicks. She's driving down the road in Tennessee, and she spotted what she thought was a rabbit darting across the busy street. She slowed down, then stopped, and then she realized it was actually a kitten. She was very surprised it did not run from her, so she put it in the car, climbed all over her like a kitten does, got in the floorboard under her feet and stopped a couple times and then rested into her nap. She finally gets home with it. She already had a dog and a cat, so she set up an area in the garage for this kitten while she figured out what to do with it, how to find its owner or get it adopted or whatever. Food, water, litter box, a little bed made out of a cardboard box, a little sweater for her. Invited her neighbor to come over and see the kitten, and the neighbor did and said, "Hey, that's a bobcat."
What?
No.
That's a bobcat. That's not a kitten.
What?
You don't want to adopt a bobcat. She said, "Thank the Lord for my neighbor because I sure was about to put that baby in the sink and give it a bath and put it in the bed with me." So instead, she called the For Fox Sake Wildlife Rescue, where the
I'm
bobcat,
happy about that.
Which is a great name, which they took on the bobcat and now will be cared for properly and then released back into the wild. That was almost a bad mistake. And finally, on this edition of Animal Stories, I don't know if you guys have been following the story, but ever since September 10th, a yak named Meteor has been on the run. You know how you see these stories from time to time where a cow will get away from the slaughterhouse and it'll go on the run and then everybody will rally around it and they'll go, "Oh, this cow is so sweet and so smart. We're not going to eat this one. We're going to spare him. We're not going to have him," right? Even though the other 400 cows on the truck are now hamburgers. Mm-hmm. Well, this was a yak named Meteor, and I wasn't aware that in Central Virginia they were cooking up a lot of yak burgers.
Can you eat yak?
Yeah, sure you can. Oof. He escaped September 10th. He was finally found last Friday, and I was all excited when I saw the story because I thought it was going to be the same sort of deal where he was going to get some sort of a food parole and he wasn't going to end up being a yak burger. But in fact, he was hit by a car and killed.
That's a great ending to this story. Wow. End of this bit.
Wow.
This has been.
That is wonderful.
I wish I had better news.
No, this is wonderful.
Meteor seemed like an awesome yak.
Yep.
But that's how his story ended there.
And that's cold, my great news.
Cold and dead on the asphalt. And this has been Animal Stories.
Animal Stories in the news. Animal Stories to cure your blues.
No, my thing absolutely can wait for your thing.
Went to the store, got an apple.
Okay.
The new honey cut drizzle and oats apple.
Oh, wow.
What was the name of it?
Well, it's a Honey Crisp, but it's been around for hundreds of years.
I was going to say, not new, just new to you.
New to me.
Okay.
Right.
Right.
For folks who don't know, until a week ago, Kevin thought there were two kinds of apples, red and green.
Right, that's it.
He had no idea that there were 7,500 different varieties of apples.
And that everybody started calling in with them, and I'm the only one that didn't know mm-hmm. that there's actually that many different types of apples. So right. I went and bought one mm-hmm. because of this show, and I ate it this morning.
Yes.
It's a pretty excellent apple.
Wow, look at you.
I would say exceptional, even.
Are you willing to say you wish you hadn't eaten all those terrible red delicious apples over the years?
Those are some BS apples.
Those are terrible apples.
I despise those apples, but this is a better apple.
Yeah.
It's better. Yeah.
So that's my update.
I'm happy to hear that.
Well, I'm glad we started with apple talk. Nowhere but up.
See, now this is going to make a difference for the rest of your life. You will know to
avoid. Take it easy.
You'll know to avoid red delicious.
Right. Okay.
You should experiment and try the Gala. You should try the Jazz. You should try a bunch of the other flavors.
I don't have that much interest in apples.
But you can see which one you like the best.
Right. But how many did you say, or were you exaggerating?
No, there are 7,500 different kinds of apples. You don't need to try them all.
I don't need to try any of them.
Most supermarkets.
I like the one that I eat. Why isn't that enough?
Because what if the
I have to go
what
on
if
a deep dive for the rest of my life
because
on apples?
What if you had a Gala and you went, oh, so much better than the Honeycrisp, and then you know that the Gala apple is the one that you should be buying next time. I'm just saying. It doesn't.
I'm just saying how much work do you want me to put into apples?
All right, let me put it another way.
All right.
When you started drinking,
yes.
Do you remember what the first alcoholic beverage was you ever had?
I don't know. Probably Bud Light.
Okay.
I would think.
So how about if you had decided right then, well, Bud Light's my beer. It's the only alcoholic beverage I'm ever going to drink for the rest of my life.
You'd be so rich.
You would be so rich.
Because I'm going to spend so much money.
But here's
what I'll tell you, Bean. Yes. Still love Bud Light.
Okay.
Drink other things, but still love Bud Light.
But drink other things because you were willing to be bold enough to experiment and not just settle for the one that you had and go out and try other beverages.
Still talking about apples?
Yes. I feel like you're putting too much effort into this. I've tried other drinks because I'm in a place and they might have other drinks available. And at the time, I think, hey, I should try that. But that's it. That's the amount of effort that I'm willing to put into it.
You haven't gone to, like, Apple-specific resorts?
No. I hope there's a thing. I hope that's
too.
A thing, because that's awesome.
I bet there's a thing that white people can do where they go out and pick their own apples, too.
Oh, absolutely there is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right.
Kevin just said...
Why white people?
Because it's such a white thing
it's
to do.
It's such a white people
thing.
Yeah. Okay. Right. Yeah. Look, because...
It's not a me thing, though, B.
Right, because Mexican people do everything they can to not have to pick apples.
Right,
white people will pay to go pick apples.
Gotcha.
That's why.
All right.
I am very proud of you for opening your mind.
Oh, my gosh.
And for listening to this program.
Are we still talking about apples?
I'm complimenting you.
Thank you. But it's all I'm willing to do, though. I'm telling you. Like, that was enough.
Okay, but you won't buy any more of those mealy-ass Red Delicious.
I mean,
if
that's all that's available, I'll
eat those. Not going to be all that's available.
All right, why are you playing hurt?
I forgot the first rule of pigs. Visited a friend's pig yesterday. I was very excited. By the way, Allie, you'll
I'm sorry, just let me interrupt here. You visited a friend who has a pig?
A friend's pig, yeah. I went to see the pig. But you'll appreciate this, Allie.
Yes.
Under the pretense of, oh, no, I'd love to see your newborn.
Of course.
That's how I got in.
Yeah.
That's how I got in the door.
Yeah.
They have a 7-week-old baby thing, and I thought I would pretend...
A what?
Baby thing.
A baby thing?
I thought I would pretend to be interested in the baby thing, so I said, oh, you have to let me come over and see sweet boy or girl, whichever.
Right.
And, but in my mind, I thought, if I can get in that door, I can play with Percy, because I love Percy. Percy's my man, right? And he's been over to the house before, and I just, you know, I had pigs for 20 years, and love them and miss them. And I thought, this is my opportunity to go play with a pig. So I went over.
Is that code?
Nope.
Not at all. So I went over and took a, you know, you don't walk through the door empty handed. So I stopped at a nearby store, one that wasn't closed for a hurricane, and picked up a box of macaroons.
Babies love macaroons.
Right?
Yes.
So I thought I'd, you know, bring a little gift as I walk in the door for the host parents, right? Mm-hmm. So while I was there, and I pretended to like the kid, and then I said, hey, you know what? Let's give Percy a macaroon. And his parent said, oh, you know what? Sure, go ahead. He's never had sugar before.
Uh-oh.
He's never had sugar. And I thought,
all right, did you pause then and go... I can start them on a long, bad road.
Yeah.
I did think about what hell their life is going to be now forever because this pig has now tasted sugar, and this pig is not going to be excited about carrots later, I'll tell you that. Or those stupid Red Delicious apples. So I brought out a macaroon, and I thought I would break it into, you know, little pieces and hand them to him. You don't give it to him all at once.
Right, you're not a savage.
And after the first bite, I've never seen a pig more excited. He was like, he was just so excited trying to get to this. Please don't pull the tape.
Don't make that noise anymore.
So here's how I started. So I'm playing hurt because first rule of feeding a pig is you don't put your fingers in a position where they can go into the pig's mouth.
No.
So you got bit.
Badly,
by a pig.
I did, yes.
That was stoked on sugar.
That was all hopped up on sugar,
yeah,
exactly.
That's a whole other kind of pig bite.
On the devil's candy,
yeah.
Right. So, because it's been a long time since I've had a pig, and I forgot. What you do is you take, in this case, the broken up little pieces of the macaroon, you put them in your palm, and that way he just puts his little snout in and just, you know, licks it up or sucks it up or whatever, and he's not biting. But instead, I was handing it to him with my fingers, and my fingers went right in his mouth, and he just clamped down like nobody's business. And I played it super cool because, A, because I didn't want to freak out the pig. And, you know, I should have realized that pigs bite and they bite hard.
Mm-hmm.
It did not break the skin, but there is a huge dent in my finger, and it really, really hurts. And I can't figure out what that could be. Like, the dent is still there.
It
looks like
it could be
just
probably a bruise from a bite.
It looks like it just happened, though.
Right?
there's a huge dip in my finger.
And you can't figure out what that's from?
I mean, he's played it over and over in his head. Where was I?
How could this have happened to my finger? It's odd. There's an indentation.
What I'm saying is I know it's the pig bite, but usually if it doesn't break the skin, if there's not a wound, usually the skin just, you know, goes back out and looks normal again after a certain amount of time. But this is, you know, this is 20 hours later, and I've still got this huge dent in my finger. I don't know. It just is a surprise to me. I wonder if I've done any permanent damage. I'm afraid it's going to impact my ukulele playing. That's really where I'm going with this.
Oh, no.
If I lose this finger.
Right.
Then what?
That whole career is over.
Wait, Dean, was your finger fine yesterday, and now it's not?
Yes.
Oh, that's a great question, Chip.
How could that have happened?
I don't understand it. So anyway, so we've all learned valuable lessons here today. Kevin knows a little something about apples, and I had a refresher course on what not to do with a pig's mouth.
Oh.
Wow.
If you're just tuning in.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, Bill Burr!
You ever want to see a man get emotional? You make him a sandwich that he didn't ask for. I'm telling you, he's going to have to dry the tears with the bread. He's going to be so shocked. Like, you made this for me? And I didn't even ask. I think she still gets the f***. Yeah, you're right to pull back. This is right to get awkward here because you don't know where this could go. This could very easily go in a clannish direction. Okay? I know you're not supposed to make fun of fat people. I understand. All right? I don't know why, though. Why? They're not a race. They're not a religion. It's totally curable. Eat an apple and go for a walk. You know? Why are you yelling at everybody else? You put the cookies in there. I didn't.
Mr. Bill Burr.
Yeah. Bill is not going to want to hear this, but there are many who consider him the world's greatest comedian alive today. And you can prove it to yourself with this brand new Netflix special available today called Bill Burr Paper Tiger. Welcome back, sir. How are you?
Why did you take your headphones off? Your headphones off when we started that?
Why?
Yeah, don't want to hear yourself.
Yeah,
you're funny, Bill. You should check out the show.
Why would I want to do that? That's the worst part of making a special is then you have to go back and watch it and edit it. That's the part I hate the most.
Aren't you proud of it when you're watching it though?
Yes, this one I am especially proud of it because Mike Binder, the job that he did. Even if you don't like my stuff, just press mute. And just look at the job that he did shooting the thing. I think it looks incredible.
I'd like to suggest that you don't press mute, though, because it's funny.
Yeah.
There's
but I'm
jokes.
Just trying to say, you know, just so many people, like, the way that they've shot specials. It's just like, okay, this, and then do this, and then beep, bop, bop, and then that's the thing. And, like, there's just no care taken into the way that they shoot it, you know? Especially, like you know, 15 years ago when they used to shoot them, like, the Bourne Identity. Where they would have, like, 40 cameras, and they just, you know, edit. I just think he did such a beautiful job on this thing. So I hope people recognize that.
Was there a reason, Bill, you chose the Royal Albert Hall in London as the venue for the new special?
Yeah, because I did a gig there, like, probably about 9 months before. I did my special, and it was, you know, I'm a big music fan. I love Led Zeppelin, and my favorite live performance that they have that they captured was the one at Royal Albert Hall. Oh. And when I went in there, it just gave me the chills. It's like I'm standing where Robert Plant stood. John Bonham's drums were right there. And I just wanted to play there just to play there. And then my agent had come over for it, and I was just like, he goes, you should do a special here. I go, you think so? I go, that'd be kind of cool, huh? Just to do something different. It's my sixth one.
Yeah.
I've done, you know, five in America. I've done down south, back east, out west, like just trying to do something different. And so I said, yeah, let's do it. And then, like, the whole time going up, I was just going, like, was this a big mistake? Why the hell would I try to do this over there? And so I kind of had that, and I was like, no, this is a good idea. Like, God, and I screwed this up. So it was kind of a, you know, a little bit of a torturous place to be in. But they, you know, I think it overall really helped.
It's a big theater, too. You know, it's so funny you should mention Zeppelin. My wife and I were talking about them yesterday, Bill. We were listening to a community radio station, and there was this young...
As all couples do.
Right. There was this kid on the radio, this kid who was playing a Led Zeppelin twofer. And it wasn't even Tuesday, by the way, so I was very offended by that.
Oh, jeez.
I'm going to play, make it a two for Tuesday. But I said to Donna, my wife, I said, Led Zeppelin is one of those bands that is never going to go away. Every single generation of teenagers is going to discover Led Zeppelin. I think time immemorial. Am I wrong?
Yeah, hopefully. Hopefully, and then it leads to all the bands that you know that they were influenced by and all of that. Mm-hmm. And but I don't. I tried not to be, you know, that old guy just ramming my, you know, bands down young people's throats. I try to listen to what they're into, just because trying to stay, you know, relevant as a comic. On some level, you have to know what's going on,
right?
While also finessing, not acting like you're a part of it. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Like I just was in Vegas, and you know, just seeing guys my age trying to go see a DJ show. It's just like, what are you doing? All right? This is not your time. This is their city now. You had your time in the 90s. Just look at you with your white whiskers. They're going to think you're a cop. They're all going to have a bad trip now because you're standing there. What's with the guy in the cargo shorts in the corner?
Hey, that's me, man.
He's talking about me specifically.
Yeah, so.
You guys ever seen Bill play drums?
Yes.
Yes.
He's so good.
You play a lot with one of
I'm good for a comedian. I'm not good for
no,
a real
no,
drummer.
No, that's not
good,
true.
Man.
Somebody that we both know, one of my very good friends, speaks highly of your drumming, Mr. Steve Gorman.
Oh, yeah. That's because I pay him off.
Or you're a good drummer.
No, or whatever.
You're a pretty good drummer.
Oh, thank you.
And is that something that you like to do, just kind of blow off some steam? You get together
no, it's
with
just,
other...
It's a hobby. Oh, it's also, you know, it's a great thing, you know, if I'm going to get into it with my wife, I just... Mm-hmm. The joke I just say is, hey, I'm going to go out in the garage and see if my drum still works. She knows it. She knows that.
Let it go.
Blow off steam.
Yeah.
Do you have a band, Bill?
No, I would never do that to
why
people.
Why not?
I would
if you're a
never...
good drummer, why not get together with some friends?
Why not?
Yes.
Because of 90,000 examples of actors and people like that who had bands. It just, why do... you
for
never,
fun.
You never want to see... I'll get together and jam with people privately, but we're just geeking out, like laughing and having a good time. But I would never subject people to my
You've done some charity
hobby.
Stuff, though.
Key word.
Okay.
Charity.
All right.
Charity is the crowd. Watching me play one song, but then the rest of it is professional musicians.
I guess we'll never get a party all the time for Bill Burr, huh?
Yeah, no. Well, Eddie's actually a legit musician.
Listen, we speak his name here. We like, what is it, party in the butt?
Boogie in the butt
was my bar mitzvah theme. That's right.
Eddie's like a legit musician.
Speaking of Eddie Murphy.
Yes.
Your thoughts on him returning to comedy?
I don't know that's true.
Did you see comedians in cars getting coffee with James?
Yeah, and then that started this big rumor
he genuinely wanted that.
Yeah.
No?
He said this week at the Toronto International Film Festival, you know he's there getting rave reviews for his Dolomite movie, he said that he is going to do a stand-up tour in 2020. He said
that. Oh, he did?
It's happening, yes.
Okay.
But is it happening? Will he pull the will he pull the ripcord on that and actually do it, or is it too daunting? Like we were talking the other day with Jeselnik, how does a guy like that even work out material? He can't just show up at a place and work something out on a stage and not have it get out, right?
I'm sure he'll figure it out. I know, it's, you know, we're not asking to clean up the oceans here. I think Eddie's like a once in a century talent. I think he can figure out how to come up with an hour's worth of material. They have like those
bags.
That service, yeah. Everybody puts their
Chappelle
things in
thing,
the bags
right.
or whatever.
Take your phone, yeah.
Yeah, and there'll be some, you know, somebody will try to like sneak one in their sock or something like that. Like just these people, like, yeah, it's funny. Like this is a really funny time as far as just the behavior of a lot of audience members. Mm-hmm. Like just the way they're acting and how just the rudeness and all that type of stuff. It's like what celebrities used to be accused of,
right?
How they're behaving. It's like you guys. They all act like they got a TV show too quickly. Remember those people back in the 90s?
Yes.
Yes. They're like, wow, what happened to that guy? That guy took the ride, huh? He really thinks this is never going to end.
You had a guy who yelled at you on stage in your special, your new Paper Tiger special.
He screamed out
from the audience.
I know, but I say a lot of dumb things. But that's also one of the great things about comedy. I enjoy a good heckle. I mean, somebody just yelling out for the sake of yelling out. I'm obviously not into that, but you know, I say a lot of dumb things and I deliberately go out there and try to push people's buttons just to,
it works.
Yeah.
And you dealt with that guy. You won that round. I'll tell you that.
Oh yeah. Or I would have edited it out. Hey, I can't lose on my own special.
But can you imagine, just going back to Eddie Murphy for one second, imagine not doing stand up for 25 years and then trying to shake that kind of rust off and doing it again. I mean, wouldn't it be very, very difficult to start up again?
For me, Not for him.
Not for him, okay. Really.
Not for him. That's so interesting.
Dude, the guy can be in a movie and play all the characters.
I mean,
I think
that's
he
true.
Can do what I'm doing. I mean, the fact that that guy's never won an Oscar is ridiculous. I'm telling you, that guy is like, I saw him do stand-up on the Raw Tour. That's one of my cool.
Wow.
Oh,
wow. Is that right?
I got him. I saw Stevie Ray Vaughan. I got a couple cool ones that I went to, but I saw in one summer, it was Rodney Dangerfield came through. He was on the, rest of his soul, he was on the Back to School Tour.
Oh, please, mm-hmm. Yes.
Yeah, I saw him, and then at this place called Great Woods in Mansfield, Massachusetts, and I saw Eddie came out. He had the purple suit. The Weather Girls opened up. They came out singing It's Raining Men.
No!
Yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's huge.
Who booked that? I love that person.
This sounds like a fever dream.
Yeah.
No, but he always seemed to have like a music.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah, he had the Busboys before that on the Delirious Tour or whatever. So it was like, yeah, and it was.
So you look at him as a different level of comedian than you.
Oh, yeah, no, it's not even close.
Not even close.
Not even close. Just think of what he was doing. He was 25.
Yeah, he was a child on SNL.
Yeah.
21 when he did, like, Delirious. Like, I was still, like, had flop sweat at 25 trying to get 8 minutes of material out. So, yeah, if he decides to come back, yeah, we're all, every comic, whatever BS intro you just gave me, I will be knocked back at least, you know, 800 miles the second he steps on a stage. I mean, he literally is, like, that level.
High praise.
Yeah.
High praise. All right, Bill Burr is here. We have to take a quick break and come back with more. The special is out now, available on Netflix all around the world. It is called Paper Tiger, and it's terrific, you guys. More with Bill right after this on K-Rock.
It is 18 minutes after 7 o'clock.
Seasons of Bill's F is for Family and all of his previous Netflix comedy specials. I got great news for you. Bill Burr is back with Paper Tiger, available on Netflix everywhere today, and it is very, very funny. Let me tell you something about Bill Burr. He has so much restraint that he can be told that his name is trending in the top 10 on Twitter nationally, and he will not click on it. Could the rest of us do that?
No.
No, because I would have done something real bad for me to be trending.
That's the setup. It's just the setup. The overhand rights are coming.
No.
Anytime you put anything out now, you just stay off social media for 3 days. That's it. I'm going to watch like Turner Classic Movies, TV, and then I'll come back sometime around like Saturday. I'll poke my head back up. All right. On to the new hour.
You think the outrage will peak and then go back down and everyone will forget it by then?
No, it's just the internet is just inherently a mean place and people generally speaking are not happy with their lives and then you stick your dumb face out there and then they get a chance. Yeah, that's something to take their childhood out on.
Sure.
And it's just like, you know, as much as I try not to be, I have feelings too, and it's just like I don't want to read it. Yeah. I feel great about it. I love it. I understand that most people, you know, a lot of people won't like it, or some people will like it, but I don't need to hear about it.
You don't need to hear either way.
No, I just put it out there. All I need is enough people to show up at whatever dump I'm playing,
right,
so I can continue to not have a real job. That's all I need. I don't need to listen to some guy's feedback that drives a tow truck.
You are going to be very pleased when you catch up. I'm just telling you.
Spoiler alert. I wanted to ask, when you were coming up and like doing, you know, dive bars, and did you ever expect that eventually someone would be like, you've seen him in Star Wars, give it up for Bill Burr? Like, that is a crazy thing to hear.
Yeah, that is nuts. Because I am a sports fan. I'm not really a sci-fi guy. Maybe
sure.
Like,
but you,
if
I mean,
it's
but
like
Star
Blade
Wars,
Runner,
you can't hide from. That is a light. I mean, it's a franchise. It's the pop culture.
It's a part of life. Yeah.
I've hidden from it pretty good, dude. it's a subset of humanity.
Right.
So I don't think, like.
Well, you're in it now.
No, I'm not, though.
You're in the canon.
I know, but I'm not in it.
You're just looking.
Just where I exist.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, if you say, like, hey, man, you're going to run into a sports fan going, dude, what'd I say? I called it.
Sure.
Brady stinks and everything. Yep. I mean, that's the world that I live in.
Hmm.
So.
You don't live in the Mandalorian world.
Yeah. I mean, I don't have any friends who dress up like Chewbacca. I just don't.
Well, you're missing out.
I'm not saying. You know, there's anything wrong with it. It's just like I'm not in that circle. I don't know where those people hang out, but whatever they hang out.
You're not there.
No, I'm not.
Did you tell them this when you, like, when it was?
Yes.
You just go, I don't know anything of what's going on here.
No, but there's a lot of people that are like that on it. It doesn't hurt it. Like, most of the acting work I do, I don't know anything about it. I just played a firefighter. I don't know anything about firefighting. I know you spray the water at the hose. I didn't know counterclockwise or clockwise. One of it draws the fire to you, the other doesn't. I didn't know any of that stuff. So, I mean, that's inherent in any acting gig you got. And out of respect for Star Wars fans, I'm not going to be like, oh, yeah, man, I was, like, always watching. I wasn't. I was watching NFL films. That is my Chewbacca.
Sure, I get that.
1970s quarterbacks. Like me and this guy, Joe Bartnick, another great comic. We can every year we go to the Rose Bowl, and at some point in our drinking, we blow people's minds at the tailgate next to us, and we name every starting quarterback from the 1970s.
Every single one.
Just about.
Wow.
Kansas City's always hard, but we kind of go through the whole league. That's
your Star Wars.
NFL football was my Star Wars.
Was Terry Bradshaw in the 70s?
Oh, yeah.
Very much so.
Yeah, he won 4 titles.
We had him on the show, and
he's a doll. But he talked about 25 minutes about killing...
About killing squirrels
and
rats.
House. It was nothing.
Well, he kept going. We were like, what's happening right now? It's not even an interview. He's just talking about killing animals.
That sounds great.
It was fantastic.
Well, he's probably sick of talking about football. He's also from Louisiana, isn't he?
Yes.
I believe so, yeah.
Yes.
King's country.
Yeah, country
game.
Oh, so
sure.
Fun.
Speaking of football, what do you think? Antonio Brown, Patriot. You stoked?
We'll see. Yeah, I mean, I can't believe the Raiders got rid of him. I just don't
understand.
Did
he sort of make that happen?
Yeah, I mean, sort of.
They got him to this big contract, and then they started ticky-tack fining him because they had a loophole, 3 strikes, you know, with your behavior. Then there's a big amount of money that they didn't have to pay him. And they kind of kicked him out for acting like an old school Raider.
That's true.
You're going to tell me Lyle Alzado never threatened somebody in the stadium? John Matuszak? Those guys were lunatics. I love the Raiders back then. It's just like, you got a pirate on the side of your helmet. Hey, you know, I feel like your behavior is not making me feel safe. I think they should have just, you know, I don't know. What do I know? But it's just, you know, you got to let somebody... Every once in a while, you're going to have more of a colorful personality, and they got to blow off some steam. I don't know. I love John Gruden, so I'm sure there was a reason for it. But hopefully...
you can't get away with that in New England, right? So he'll be on his best behavior now under Belichick, right?
I have no idea. I have no affiliation with the team, so I don't know how they run it. I'm just a fan of it, so I don't know what behavior you can.
But you get that
get
idea
with.
From Belichick, right? I do. Yeah. It's just that
he's
runs
not,
a tight
he doesn't
ship.
Play around. Yeah,
I would think so. We'll see. I think it'll be. It's early.
Sure.
It's early, so we'll see how that plays out. I hope it works out. But it's cool. We got nothing to lose. It's a 1-year contract. So, you know, if it doesn't work out, he can leave and, you know. But I think it's going to be a good thing.
And a good week one, so.
Yeah, no kidding.
We had a good weekend.
How long can Tom Brady play, Bill, do you think? As a sports fan, how long can he go? What is he, 42 now?
I have no idea. I mean, last time I played football, touch football, I was 29, and I couldn't walk for like 3 days. I didn't stretch or anything. We played in Central Park. It was hilarious. It was me and a bunch of other comics, and we were all just laughing. Like, I think we still had like adrenaline that night when we were doing shows, and it was still, oh man, I kind of messed up my arm. And then I woke up like the next day, and you know, like my legs felt like they were lead. I don't know how anybody plays tackle football in their 20s.
Yeah. Yes.
Forget about into their
42.
Their 42 years old.
And Drew Brees last night, 40. Yeah. He was great last night. Yeah. I mean, playing professional football at 40.
Here's the thing. This is why Drew Brees, no one really talks about his age, is because Tom Brady's still there. It's kind of like Aerosmith. Aerosmith, no one really said that they were old until they were old because the Rolling Stones were still doing it.
That's true.
So that's what it is. So Brady's like the Stones.
When he retires, it'll all be about Drew Brees being old.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what it is.
It's a great point. Let me play a clip from the special, by the way. Bill Burr, Paper Tiger, premieres today on Netflix. You do.
Headphones off. He's off. He won't hear you.
As Bill frequently does, he talks about his wife and their relationship. This is a great clip about that.
I have a temper. So that's the thing. That's what kind of ruins things. Everything else I do is fine, but I have a f***ing temper, and it just ruins shit. And then my wife always says the same thing. She's always just like, I just don't understand. Where did that come from? Where is that coming from? It's you just go from 0 to 100 in 2 seconds. It's like, first of all, I idle at 75 miles an hour. All right? So don't give me this 0 to 100. I walked into this restaurant at 75. I could hear that guy talking too loud on his cell phone from the parking lot.
All right, headphones back
headphones
on for Bill.
Yep, headphones on.
Bill, you sound like a lot of fun to live with. That's my point.
You sound like a dream too, B.
Bill, are you?
You know what? You sound like a guy that if somebody makes a point, you could be like, you know what? You're right. I see that.
Are you aware that when you went off on being...
Last time you were here, you went off on Bean for giving the backhanded compliments,
and it wound up being
he's
one of
just
the...
a sad man.
It was amazing.
That's all it is. I see right through it, you know.
He seems like that guy at a party
who wants to spout off facts that somehow makes him feel good about himself. It's sad. I used to take it personally. Then somewhere in, like, I don't know, the 15th time I came in here, I'm like, this is just a sad man who never got a hug as a child.
We've played it so many times and we love it so much.
All I've done is be on my best behavior.
Anytime
today.
A man's voice goes that
right?
high, do you have your hand on your chest? I was just trying to say something. Anytime anyone puts their hand to their chest like that, they're lying.
Why did this turn into the thing about me?
Yeah.
Right. I didn't do it. Yeah. All right, before Bill goes, watch a Paper Tiger on Netflix. We're going to do 60 Seconds With. Allie will fire questions at you, 60 seconds worth. All you have to do is...
60 seconds to the end of your career.
Yes, that is accurate.
That's what 2019 is.
Just first thing that comes into your
Bill,
mind.
Bill, do you support the troops?
Here
what do you think
is.
About safe spaces? Gender-neutral bathrooms?
None of those. 60 Seconds With Bill Burr. Here we go.
All right.
Is a hot dog a sandwich?
No.
If animals could talk, which one would be the biggest asshole?
Monkeys.
If you could be any animal, what would you be?
A bear.
Yeah. Creepiest thing you could say to a stranger you pass in the street?
I've been watching you.
Twizzlers or Red Vines? Twizzlers or Red Vines?
I hate licorice.
All right. What truly scares you?
I don't know. Jesus Christ, I don't know. Therapy?
Okay.
That's what this feels like.
Did you have a nickname growing up?
No.
Is Die Hard a Christmas movie?
Yes.
You can only bring one album to a deserted island. Which one?
One album?
Mm-hmm. One album.
I'd bring the Chipmunks Christmas album.
Oh, my God.
Now you and Bean are close again.
You know why? Because I love music too much. To do that to a band, to just take one album and then end up hating that band.
It's a hypothetical.
So I would bring the Chipmunks, and then I would just kill myself, and I wouldn't be on that island anymore. I would be somewhere else.
Bean, tell him what your alarm is every morning. I wake up to the Chipmunks singing the Christmas song. That's my alarm on my phone every day of the year.
The life of a serial killer.
Well, I was going to say, that's very, what was that Wall Street guy there?
Oh, American Psycho?
American Psycho. Yeah. What does your victim do? Like, oh, no, he's up.
All right. Another great appearance.
We're approaching the end of the year, which means we do our countdowns. And as a soundbite guy, this is the one that speaks directly to me. So we're going to count down the top 10 drops of the year.
Audio clips that we play on the show. Which one will be on top? No one knows. Audio clips, also known as drops. Which one will have a shot? This is Top Drops. Top Drops. This is Top Drops. This is Top Drops. Which one will be on top? Top Drops. This is Top Drops. This is Top Drops. Which one will be on top?
The Top Drops of 2019.
Last night, we actually went to Twitter and Instagram to ask people what their favorite drops of the year were.
Because we don't remember
everything.
Well,
that's the thing. It's so hard for us to remember the ones throughout the whole entire year. And we got such a good response, it actually changed a lot of my answers.
So, is that right?
It did. I saw some and I went, you know what? That probably does deserve to be higher. Or, I didn't even think of that one. So, understand, don't be mad at just me. Be mad at the listeners.
Okay.
The party people.
So you're already complaining about this.
Well,
I mean, you're
just
already
setting up.
Taking up a defensive position.
Setting up the hate mail. So let us know at Kevin and Bean on Twitter or Instagram what you guys think. But let's start with some runners up.
Okay. This is Top Drops.
Now, I think sometimes there is a victim of what I call recent time, right? So something comes up right near the end of the year, and it doesn't yet have the body of work to deserve a top 10 space.
Right.
But I think it would have been on its way had this popped up earlier.
Le Maître.
Okay, so Le Maître, we didn't know what it was.
Le Maître.
And it came just from mugs going through names in the system. And we found out later that it was a pick of the jam, like a
That's my jam pick by Kevin.
But we still don't know why this is in the system, why the name is.
Mm-hmm. Le Maître.
Anyway.
I think I didn't know how to say the name of the band or rapper, whoever
right.
it was.
Uh-huh.
And so I went to the internet and found the name so that somebody could say it correctly.
Okay, because then it just ended up in our system.
Yes.
All right, great. Now, one of the most controversial picks of the year. Listen, I would never put it on the list, but I would say that it was the second highest that we got from the audience.
Really?
It is the most polarizing drop of 2019. Allie hates it, but boy, did a lot of people answer with it, because it was not going to be on my list, but it had to make runner-up. Okay, so the last runner-up is one that I think came late as well, but this is a great drop, and we'll probably always use it.
Isn't that creepy?
That's Mike Tyson on his podcast. Okay, let's move into the top 10. You ready?
This is Top Drops.
All right, number 10. This happened to Bean, the late Bean. Mm-hmm. Rest in peace. All and right, I think Pete. It's not only just a drop, it's a moment that will be remembered forever, but here's the clip.
My cat just bit me on the foot. That really hurt.
As you know, Bean had allowed a stray cat into his studio.
He called it just my cat.
Left
the door open for it. Mm-hmm. And then all day, he talked about how great this cat was and how it's now his spirit animal. And then literally as we were going off the air, the cat bit him and cut him and drew blood.
Blood was dripping down his leg.
That's right.
It was pretty awesome.
It was. So that's my number 10 and a great way to remember someone who passed away.
This is Top Drops.
Number 9, this is very easy to remember. Let's play the clip.
You're a stanky-ass white man.
This was Allie explaining as to why you need a towel to wash your butt.
A washcloth, yes.
Kevin said that he never has had one, mm-mm. only uses his hand, and that was a caller's response to you.
You're a stanky-ass white man.
Yep.
All right, let's move to number 8.
This is Top Drops.
I would like to see it.
Love it.
A great drop that found its way into the show, which I love. Moving on, number 7. This I didn't even know if this would have made the list, but so many people responded, and here it is.
Do you have chicken finger?
It's Rosie O'Donnell from a movie where she plays a slow woman, and for some reason she asked for chicken fingers, mm-hmm. which I don't really know why. But anyway, that's my number 7. Number 6 is one of 2 from Muggs, and I mean I say it in my normal life all the time.
I swear what?
This is Top Drops.
As you know, he asked people at Cheers mm-hmm. what their biggest injury was.
Yeah.
And why did we love this guy so much?
I mean, did you hear him say split lip?
I swear lip.
Yeah.
Split lip.
And then when he tried to explain it to us, we didn't understand what that was either. All right. Number 5.
This is Top Drops.
Kevin gives us so much gold, mm-hmm. but I'm not sure that anything will ever beat this.
Is it Heimer?
He was looking at the call screen, couldn't understand. It was Jamie?
It was literally Jamie.
Or Jaime. We don't know.
Could be Jaime.
But either way, he said, is it Heimer?
Is it Heimer?
Yeah. Is it Heimer?
Yeah.
Okay. Number 4 is...
This is Top Drops.
A great drop, but also an argument for caller of the year. Now, mm-hmm. let me remind everyone, we had just given out a prize. All of us celebrated, and then there was a silence. We went to the winner, silent, and then this.
What's going on?
Oh, my God, I love that. How is he not number 1?
I know, not number 1.
Oh, what? I loved him.
We named him.
Yeah.
We said his name.
We're cheering for him.
He's the winner.
So excited.
And he comes back with,
what's going on?
And that became,
you won!
By the way, my family, everyone says what's going on that cadence now and that voice. You're right. It could have been a number 1.
Yeah.
But it wasn't.
This is Top Drops.
Number 3. Here it is.
Bean, touch my peen.
Now,
how is that not number 1?
Also, could have been a number 1. As you know, I purchased a cameo from Chris Hansen. He talked to the late Bean and said that was his screen name, Bean, touch my peen.
Bean, touch my peen.
Couldn't believe Chris Hansen said it for
$50.
That was awesome.
And that has lived on forever. Number 2 could also be a number 1.
This is Top Drops.
Let's hear it.
Well, I do believe they land on the moon.
another Cheers clip for Muggs. He asked a person at the bar, does he believe that we landed on the moon or is it fake? And that's what we got.
Well, I do believe they land on the moon.
I mean, truly incredible clip that I will never stop. And I hear people say I do believe now in normal life, and I'm just like,
that's all you think about.
Can't hear it any other way. This is Todd Drops. Now, number one, I don't find controversial, but I do think that it had the largest effect on the show. Okay, so maybe it's not a drop that you're dying to have every day, but I think that this has the longest lasting sort of domino butterfly effect on the show.
Okay.
This is the number one clip of 2019.
I'm Hulk Hogan, by the way.
100%.
I mean, it seemed to me like an obvious choice.
Yeah.
Again, it was a listener calling in to do a Hulk Hogan voice, and at the last minute was nervous we didn't understand it and wanted to drop it. And now I would say 30% of Afro calls end with it.
Absolutely.
This is Hulk Hogan, by the way. Everybody does it.
I think that is the best pick, and that was the top 10 drops of 2019. This is
Todd Drops. The top drops of 2019.
I thought this was a very, very funny story that the beautiful actress Kate Mara. She's so talented. You know her from House of Cards. You know her from a lot of things. But she, what's the deal with her family? She's got
her mother's
football royalty,
side. Yeah,
right?
Her mother's side of the family owns the Pittsburgh Steelers, and her father's side of the family owns the New York Giants.
Holy crap!
Yeah,
how about that for a dynasty family, right? Well, she told a very funny story that involved the NFL Championship Trophy. She was on Conan the other night, and here's what Kate had to say.
I was dating someone a long time ago who came to visit my parents not too long after the Giants won the Super Bowl, and the trophy had just arrived. And my parents, my mom specifically, was very excited about this. And she said, you know, would you like to see it? Would you like to hold it? They've sent white gloves that you put on before you can hold the trophy.
Sure.
And so he was a very enthusiastic man, and he put on the gloves, and then he went to lift up the trophy, but he lifted it up from the base, which we didn't know wasn't connected to the trophy, and it fell, and in slow motion, I saw he was wearing these steel-toed boots, which he was a pretty good soccer player, and he kicked his foot up and caught it. He caught the trophy with his boot and then caught it in his hands. And he dented just a tiny part.
Yeah, he didn't catch it. He kick-stopped it. He kicked the...
It never hit the ground, though. And I look over at my dad, who's in the kitchen, just watching the whole thing happen, and he was just like... And that was the end. We broke up, and that was it.
Yeah.
So this is her boyfriend visiting and does significant damage to the NFL Championship Trophy, the Lombardi Trophy, the legendary Lombardi Trophy.
I feel like you don't want to dent that.
No.
No.
Like that's maybe a negative.
Yeah, there's a reason you handle that with care, because it's valuable. So we started, we heard about this story, and we started talking off the air about how awful it is. It's bad enough to break your own stuff, but you're at somebody else's house, and you screw up and break something. How bad is that? And then, of course, Allie, she raises her little hand, she gets up off the cold blanket, and then says what?
Oh, I might have ruined Christmas for many years. Beth Perry's house.
Christmas many years?
It was third grade, and it was about a week before Christmas, and we were playing hide-and-go-seek, and I thought, best place, right behind this tree. That's handy.
Good.
And I decided after she didn't find me, I would run out and be like, I was behind the tree. How good was that? But my sweater got caught on a branch.
Uh-oh.
And I kind of took the tree with me. And it fell down, broke all the glass ornaments, fell onto the manger, ruined the manger.
Nice.
She had to call her mom and explain what happened. I had to walk home, and I remember walking home through the Greenbelt just thinking, I've ruined Christmas for so many people. Probably nine, third grade. Yeah. So sorry, Beth Perry, Wessex
Knocking
Village.
Over somebody's Christmas tree.
Yeah.
Onto the manger,
yeah.
Smashing their
all
ornaments.
Like ornaments for life, ones that they've collected forever.
You know what? You can't come back from that.
No.
There's no amount of oopsies that is going to get you in the clear for that one.
Yeah, it was ugly.
So that's the topic.
Do I tell my story?
Kevin, have you ever wrecked something at someone's house?
520-1067. I want to get the number out there because now let's hear Kevin tell just the top 25 times it's probably happened to him.
I think you'll like this one, Bean.
I'm not positive if I ever told you this story. I may have, but it's been a long time. When you lived in Los Angeles,
Oh, no.
You put something at my house?
Yeah.
Oh, you had something. That you're now confessing to me?
You had a bunch of people over at your house, and I was having issues. So I went to use your restroom upstairs.
Oh, those kind of issues.
Mm-hmm. And just destroyed it. That was disrespectful to your toilet. And it ran over.
No.
And I immediately went down the stairs and left. Did I ever tell you that?
No. You overflowed my toilet and then just left?
So whoever
the poor neck schmuck that went upstairs to use the bathroom walked in on that?
I didn't know what to do, so it happened.
So I just ran.
You're the worst house guest ever.
I'm why Bean doesn't like guests.
How could you do that?
I don't. It's not like I went up there with the intention of doing that. It just happened.
And I was mortified. And I was like, okay, how do I explain to someone? How do I tell someone?
Yeah.
So I just ran.
Oh, my God.
And that's why Bean moved.
That's why I moved. And we'll never have people over to his house anymore.
So 20 years later, you confess.
Kevin, God damn it.
Exactly. 1-800-520-1067. What did you destroy at someone else's house? You can call us now. You can also text the show, as always, at the number 2KROQ. We'll talk to you next right after this on KROQ. You did what again at my house, Kevin?
Let's move on because it seems like
we're talking about you go to somebody else's house and you ruin stuff. That's the topic. We're taking your calls, 1-800-520-1067. But you just made a deep, dark confession on the air moments ago. You did what at my house?
Well, it was a party. And it was sort of near the end.
Near your end.
And I went upstairs to use the restroom because I didn't know how ugly it was going to get.
Yeah.
And it did. And then it overflowed.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
So you did the right thing and went downstairs and said, hey, guys, I'm really sorry. Could I have some towels? I have a little issue in the bathroom. I'll clean it up.
I think the front door was just straight in front of the stairs. And I think I just went down the stairs and right out the front door and left.
Let's go to my wife, Donna. She's online.
What?
Nine. She apparently was listening as this horrible news was transmitted.
Donna.
Oh, my goodness.
Hey, Donna.
Can you believe this?
He has such nice manners. I want to thank Leonard for that. That's awesome.
She remembers the name of my dad.
So Donna is listening. Kevin tells this horrible, horrible story, and she texts me and says, "It not only was it a party, it was our wedding reception at our house.
No! Was it really?
It was really, because we've never invited you to our house outside of that.
Well, and rightfully so.
So we eloped to Las Vegas, then we had a big party for friends and family at the house afterwards, and so this was our wedding reception, and you also said in your text that you're the one who ended up going upstairs and cleaning it up.
I am the one that ended up having to go upstairs and clean it up.
Wow.
And also, we had known having Kevin to our house would mean something because he had been over before and he had been through our medicine cabinet and questioning all of our medication and like putting some stuff in his pocket. So we actually went to a great deal of trouble to fill the medicine cabinet with marbles so that we would know when he was up there.
So that I would reach up there and it would just be a loud, destructive noise?
So when the toilet overflowed, then he opens the medicine cabinet. The marbles go everywhere. Everyone downstairs could hear it. So when we saw him bolt down the stairs and run out the front door, it was not a surprise.
Wow.
But you just thought it was the marbles.
Wait, so you knew?
I just thought it was the marbles. It was a lot of guests.
You didn't realize it was Mr. Poopy Pants.
Awesome, because I think we only had one bathroom in our whole house.
I'm so sorry.
Kevin.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. It was more chocolate fountain for us.
So. Oh, please. Abort. Abort. Abort.
And it was chocolate for all.
Okay. Thank you, Donna. We got to go.
I'm sorry,
bye.
Donna. Thank you. I'm sorry. Bye. I'm sorry.
Let's try.
Bye.
God, I'm not going to get that image out of my mind.
So much worse.
Let's go to Carlos in Lawndale. He's on line 8. You went to somebody.
This is why you never tell stories on yourself.
You went to somebody else's house and wrecked something. Carlos, you're up next. What was it?
Yeah, so, wow, I'm trying to basically impress a girl. She invited me finally to her family's New Year's Eve dinner and all of that. Just so happens the family got a brand new, I think it was like a 55, 60-inch TV screen.
All right, for Christmas?
For Christmas.
Yeah.
And, you know, I had flip-flops on it. You know, it was in the daytime. We were going to the pool and having a little drinks on, you know. But, you know, the little flip-flops where the thing goes in between your toes, that kind of jammed. And I fell kind of face first, shoulder first into the screen.
No.
Oh, no.
Did it shatter?
You know, you know, what's funny is, like, everybody heard the commotion, and there's a little gap in between the wall and the TV, so it fell right at an angle to my whole body weight. And we looked, the little, you know, the little base cracked, but so we're like, everything is fine. And then when they turned it on, there's a huge black dark spot, and it wouldn't go away.
Oh no.
So what happens in that situation? Do you have to end up paying for it or get them a new TV?
There was a large dark spot in their hearts as well, Carlos.
Well, what happened? So I was like, oh, my God, like, you know, I'll pay, you know, whatever. But they're like, no, it's okay. Luckily, we got insurance, you know, the warranty, you know, we got all that. But
were you ever invited back?
Yeah, let's just say we stopped talking about 4 months after.
Okay.
All right. All right, Carlos, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to Long Beach Line 5. This is going to be Scott. This has got to be pretty high on the list of things you don't want to mess with at somebody else's house. Scott, what happened?
Yeah, I got a New Year's story as well.
Okay.
So New Year's, champagne cork, grandma's ashes.
I'm sorry.
I don't believe it.
Did you say grandma's ashes?
It was seriously like one of those bad movies or TV shows or some crap. You're like, yeah, so I pull out the champagne, like, probably, you know, 5 minutes before midnight or something like that. Pop the cork, and the damn thing shatters.
I literally have seen that in a movie. Do you guys think he's making this up?
I think I saw, no, I'm not making this up.
Yeah,
at
Meet
all.
The Fockers.
Is that what it was? It was Meet the Fockers, yeah.
Well, they Meet the Fockers. I don't know what it was, but no, seriously.
they owe you money, Scott.
All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try.
Doesn't mean it's a false story.
It just, yeah, it's possible it happened in real life, I guess.
All right, let's try
Vanessa in Inglewood, line 6 up next. You went to somebody's house and wrecked something. Vanessa, what was it?
So I was in elementary school, and it was my first time visiting a friend, and I sat down on the couch, and in front of it was a coffee table with 3 vases, and I was like, what are those? And the mom gave me this big deal about, like, who made them. It was a Southwest artist, and, you know, how much they mean to her. And as soon as we were done talking, I got up to go to the restroom, and I knocked over one of the vases.
Right after she explained how important it was.
And do you have any concept? How old are you at this point, Vanessa?
I want to say I was, like, 8 or 9.
Okay, so you know you've done wrong, but you really can't comprehend what the history and the value of something is in somebody else's house. You don't really know about money at that point, right?
No.
But you were old enough to take the Kevin approach and run.
I left pretty soon after that, and I wasn't invited back over.
Yeah. Aww.
That's a very sad phone-in topic.
Really?
I wasn't prepared for that.
Thank you, Vanessa. Whoops, that's the wrong button. Let's do one more. Let's make it George in Long Beach. He'll close this down on line 4, please.
Hey, George.
Hello. How you doing?
Good. You went to somebody else's place and wrecked something. What?
Well, it wasn't someone's house. It was someone's wedding.
Somebody's wedding. Okay.
Yeah, sorry. It was in the reception hall, and it was my wife's cousin, and she was out taking pictures, and everybody was waiting at the reception hall. We decided for some reason to fix the tablecloth of the wedding cake was sitting.
Now, hold on. You decided that you weren't any part of the, like, that wasn't your job?
Nope, that was not my job.
Not at all. Okay.
Just doing the happy couple a favor.
Okay.
These are the kind of things my wife and sister-in-law get me into. My sister-in-law and I lifted the cake just about 2 inches off the table, just enough to shift the tablecloth. By doing that, the cake toppled over onto me.
Oh, no. Oh. Was it good?
That's not the point, Kevin.
That's not the point. I'm saying the cake tipped over on him.
Were you able to catch it and guide it back onto the table, or did it fall to the ground?
Oh, yeah, I totally caught it with my suit. We kind of put it, the top tier, the bottom tier was the one that survived. The rest were kind of smashed a bit on the side.
Right.
That's going to be a good-looking cake for the pictures.
Did you turn all of the smash parts to the back so it looked good?
Oh, yeah, totally. Faced it towards where I was standing, which was the back.
Then mission accomplished.
As soon as that happened, the whole room just shut up. It's like the movies where they shut up and turn around. Like, oh.
Yeah. Did you take the Kevin approach and run?
Ran to the kitchen and wiped myself off.
Not the same.
No.
Not the same commitment.
No.
Not the same commitment.
Yeah.
I don't like it.
You know, we had to tell her that we dropped the cake, and she took it rather well at the time.
Wow.
Well, brides aren't usually uptight about
to go see The Cure at the Hollywood Bowl for a grand prize drawing to see the band again in Rome, Italy. We're going to make that phone call to the winner in about 50 minutes or so. So if you're qualified, answer your goddamn phone. That's all I'm saying. I'm sick of talking to an answer machine. Right?
You know the drill.
On the news last week, Good Day Spokane is the show in beautiful Spokane, Washington. And they were interviewing, as you have to do, Allie. You worked in news for many years. If somebody's 100 plus, you have to go interview them on the morning show, right?
Absolutely.
It just comes with the territory.
Right. They usually have big parties at the nursing home, that type of thing.
Right. This woman, Flossie Dickey, is 110. And you can listen to the tape and decide for yourself. I'm not sure she was thrilled by being interviewed on the news.
Good morning. Yes, we are out here at the Cheney Care Center, and I am sitting next to the woman on the front page of the Spokesman Review this morning. This is Flossie Dickey, and check it out, folks. We got her very own Good Day Spokane coffee mug.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. She's 110 and she gets a coffee mug.
Yeah.
Really? How long do you have to live to get a TV?
And this is the most upbeat, happy, just wants Flossie to have a great time type of reporter.
She is enjoying some coffee this morning because Flossie, you say you're a little tired this morning. Is that right?
I am tired.
She's droopy dog.
By the way, would you give a 110-year-old a hot cup of coffee to hold? I was so nervous watching this thing that somehow that she wasn't going to be able to hang on to that cup. She was going to drop it to her lap.
Now you think, as a reporter, now you go, okay, well maybe I'll come back at a different time. Although, how many chances are you going to get?
I am tired.
She is very tired. That's actually, I heard, your favorite activity to do at the center here is to take a little nap.
Take a nap many times as I can.
As many times as she can, she likes to take a nap.
I don't know why this reporter has to repeat everything that she says right after she says it.
The only thing I can think is maybe she feels like the listeners, the people watching at home, are not hearing it because Flossie is real soft-spoken or something, but we can certainly hear it.
Flossie has 3 children. You have 12 grandchildren, 20 great-grandchildren, and 15 great-great-grandchildren. You sound like a very busy lady. Yes, she has lived in multiple places.
Okay, can I stop you right there? Explain the premise of her question.
How
is she a busy lady because she had 3 kids 80 years ago? Why does that make her busy today?
Well, I would suppose all of the grandkids and all that kind of stuff would have parties or whatever.
Catching up with them, that type of thing.
She's busy just because she has a lot of members in her family? That makes her busy?
Sure.
All right, she didn't look busy to me.
In the Northwest, even lived in Arizona. She's originally from Oregon. That's where she was born. And Flossie, this morning, we also have some flowers that we would like to give you.
Now, this is funny because the reporter takes the flowers and puts them in Flossie's lap, but that sort of disturbs her a little bit.
She got her nails done. I don't know if you can see, but they're a beautiful pink. Pink and purple, we heard, were your favorite colors. So I'm just going to set those on your lap for you.
All right.
And
They won't stay.
Oh, Flossie.
Because she couldn't hold her legs and they're falling off of her legs.
Because she's got her coffee, too.
They won't scram.
I'll hold on. How about that? So that they stay. Later today, Flossie's family is going to be coming out here to throw you a big birthday party. Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
That's the best.
That is so much gold.
Oh, I love
that. By the way, that's a slam dunk question. Yes. Are you excited for your party?
Yeah.
That's just an obvious time waster so she could come up with something else.
Sure.
And Dottie is not having
it. Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
You would rather be taking a nap, huh?
Nicole.
Anyway, I'm here with Chris Barr. Chris, you have known Fosse. Come on in here. Yes?
Somebody else come in and talk to me, please.
Please, I'm out.
Hey, someone.
By the way, Flossie Dickey, 110, was a little girl old enough to know what was going on when the Titanic sank. Think about that for a second.
I'm done.
Okay. Think about her being a little kid and the Titanic sinkings, and she's still alive today.
She's seen a lot of death, is what Bean's saying.
Well, I'm saying she's seen a lot of life, too. She's seen a lot of history. It's pretty impressive that she's still alive.
Well, I know there's a bit of a delay here, but stay with me.
Are you going to say something?
Can you ask Flossie, 110, obviously she knows a few secrets here. What is the key to live that long?
Yes, I've been trying to get that out of her. Flossie, the people on TV want to know what the secret is to being able to live so long.
I don't know. I don't fight it. I live it.
She doesn't fight it. She lives it. And that's what her granddaughter actually said to me.
Can I just butt in and say, we don't need to ask a 110-year-old the secret to living long, because I assume they don't know.
Mm-hmm.
And there's nothing that they can share with us, really, to help us live to be 110. And I don't even want to be 110. She's miserable.
I think that's a question that gets asked of every old person.
Yes, it's kind of essential. It needs to be stopped.
Because we're all looking for that secret.
No, I'm not. I don't want to be 100. She's miserable.
Yeah, I don't want to
I do not want to be 110.
When people ask her that, she says she just lives. Any secret food or anything we can all be eating every day to stay alive as long as you?
No.
Nope, just live it. But joining me here is Chris Barr. Chris, you've been known Flossie for 10 years.
Oh, yeah. Now she's going to ask somebody in the assisted living home about Flossie.
Tell us a little bit about her and the time that you've known her here at the Cheney Care Center.
She acclimated very quickly. We've had her here. She's a jokester. She does tell jokes.
All right, question. Is it possible, are you excited for your party? And her saying, not a little bit. She's being funny?
No.
I don't think so either.
Straight up means it. She is done.
Yeah, her favorite thing, according to her family, is to sit down and have some whiskey straight up.
There you go.
Some whiskey straight up. I also heard you enjoy an occasional piece of pie. So, Flossie, happy 110th birthday. If you do the math, she was born in 1906 on February 18th. Matt and Cheerson, we're going to send it back to you guys.
Happy birthday,
Flossie. And you know what? I think Flossie just wants to say, get that TV camera out of here.
Totally.
Well, why don't you?
Let me sip on my cup of coffee and then take a nap. You know, and who could blame her? Don't fight it. Live it.
Live it. So go out and do as Flossie does.
Thanks for being with us this morning. How cool was that?
We'll see you tomorrow, everyone.
So Flossie has so little time left. Why torture her with your nonsense?
That's what I'm saying.
Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.